On the show today, we have some students from the Soul Miners Children's Theater Company, which is based in Urbana. And we have two of the instructors of the program with us, and the two different groups of kids are going to be singing something each, I believe, from the two short musical productions that they're rehearsing for, preparing for, that are going to be performed next month. And that's the first part of our show. Second part, we'll be talking with folk singer Deborah Cowan and hearing from her newest CD. She is going to be giving a special concert for WYLL-FM on, well, for WYLL Radio, not just FM, at our TV studios on Valentine's Day. And this Saturday, on our companion station AM580, Rich Warren's show, The Midnight Special, will be a special pledge edition, and you can have an opportunity to earn signed copies of that CD and also to earn a spot at that intimate concert on the 14th. So Saturday, a great time to tune in to AM580 between 2 and 4, listen to The Midnight Special, and get a chance to hear Deborah Cowan live on February the 14th. And we'll be talking with her later on. On Live and Local today, I'm Kevin Kelly. It's your connection to local music and more. That was a song, well, it wasn't a song, it was a tune by, well, you could call it a song, why not, called Samba in Ten, performed by the guitar duo of Goran Ivanovich and Andreas Kapsalis. They're based in Chicago, and they occasionally do come to our listening area. And one of these days, we'll get them to play on our show, live in our studio. This is Live and Local on FM 90.9. I'm Kevin Kelly, and we do have some performers live in our studio right now. And I don't know how many of them have actually had the opportunity to perform before, but I bet they haven't done it on the radio. We'll find out shortly. They are students in the Soul Miners Children's Theater Company, which is based in Urbana. And it is Urbana, isn't it,
I think? Well, that's physically where we're based.
Physically, yeah. Well, that's what we're talking about.
Yeah, it's an all-over group.
Yeah, you can come from anywhere you want. And that, speaking there, was Helen Katz, who is one of the founders of the group, and also have two of the instructors in the program who are also directing the two shows we're going to be talking about. They're both small musicals from the New York Children's Theater Company catalog, The Ugly Duckling, and as it's described here, An Old Story Told with New Relevance, going to be presented by the 5 to 8 year old class in Soul Miners, and then a show called Henry Box Brown, in which he mails himself to freedom. That's going to be directed by Christopher Brown, the other directed by Katie Baldwin, and Henry Box Brown presented by the 9 to 12-year-old class. And we have representatives of both of those classes with us on the show today. And those of you who are in school, managed to get out of school, congratulations. And I bet you weren't crying about that. Helen, since this is our third conversation about Soul Miners.
It is.
But give us a refresher of what does the term come from, and what's the relationship to the Baha'i Center, which is also the venue for these performances and for the classes.
Well, the relationship basically is that the Baha'i Center is, or the Baha'i community of Champaign-Urbana has sponsored us and supported us and provided us with a place, helped us get started. Because the goal that we have of education about universal values and virtues that are the same in all religions all over the world, and that those virtues and values are really need to be the main point of education, that's what you really need mostly to educate, and then everything else will come from that. Those are ideas that are very consistent with the Baha'i writings, and so the Baha'is were very happy to support this, which was great. So.
And this is your third year?
No,
or third
second term.
third term.
Yeah.
Oh, second term.
Yeah. Well, we actually started it. We had a different calendar, and it ended up being two in the same year. But it's
but in any event, it's your second year of existence.
Right.
And is this then the third presentation that you're preparing for?
No, nope, second one.
Also, just the second.
Yeah. Hmm. Right.
I've sort of I've invented something somewhere along the line, but I know that I think anyway that both of the instructors with us are newer to the program than the initial founding. Is that true?
No, Katie was with us. Yeah, and Christopher is new this year.
Christopher is new. I obviously needed a whole refresher course on the Soul Miners because I'm getting the whole thing mixed up. Well, Katie, why don't we let you talk about the first show that we're going to be sort of sampling here a little bit. You're directing The Ugly Duckling, and if people recognize your name, it might be because they've seen you in various shows at the Station Theater. I know I have, and you've been on this show a number of times on that occasion. So anyway, The Ugly Duckling.
Yeah, this is like it is advertised, a classic story with kind of a new twist. So it involves physical disability and being different, like having braces or not being good at sports and things like that. So it sort of encompasses those bullying issues and being different issues that children deal with, and not just the physical nature of this of the Ugly Duckling story of transforming physically. It also has to do with, you know, being accepted regardless of your differences or your inabilities or abilities.
This is a musical presentation. This is a musical adaptation of the story.
Yeah, that's right. It's actually a story within a story. It's a teacher telling the story of the Ugly Duckling. So there's some aspects of being in the classroom. So the children play children, and they also play animals in the Ugly Duckling story.
And do you play the teacher?
I do.
And
no one wanted to play the teacher,
took
it.
Is that how that went? You didn't just assign it to yourself?
No, I just said, you know what, why don't we keep it simple? I'll read the teacher part and you can all play the students. And it worked out just fine.
And about how long a show is The Ugly Duckling?
Oh, 20 to 30 minutes, something like that.
And then similar length for Henry Box Brown? Or maybe
around
a little bit longer?
There.
Around that. For those of you, and this is the age 5 to 8 year old group that's doing this. So of those of you who are in this production of The Ugly Duckling, yes, I'm talking to you kids, do any of you feel like this story is talking about you? You know, do any of you feel kind of different in one way or another? Or, you know, do kids make fun of you or do you have funny braces? Yes, sir, we have a hand up. What's your name?
Asim.
How does this story talk about you at all?
Well, I'm sort of slowest in my class.
Sort of slowest in your class?
Yeah.
And so do people poke fun at you for that, or do you just feel different, or?
I just feel different.
You feel different. And do the rest of you in the group, do you feel that Asim is any different? One nodding yes and the rest nodding no. What do you think this story is teaching you about when people are different, how to treat them, or what it may mean? Are they really different? Are they special? What does the story say? What are you learning?
What do you think, Karen?
Well, it's basically usually they're special in some way and treated badly. But you should not treat them badly because they're actually just like you.
In many ways are just like you, and they might turn out to be special in some ways. Now, then of course, this is what a duck people think is ugly, but it really turns out to be a swan, and everybody often thinks that swans are beautiful creatures, as all animals are in one way or another. Although I did see a picture of a kind of a fish yesterday that is just about the ugliest thing I've ever seen. But I'm sure it's special also. It just is something called a sarcastic, I forgot that, fringe fish or something like that. Yeah, we heard it. We learned about it on this radio show yesterday. I had to go look it up. So we have a song from the Ugly Duckling show?
Actually, I think the engineers were set up to do the other one first.
Oh, they are? Oh, really?
I think so,
Oh,
yeah.
Well, then I need to be informed. Well, then let's go hear about the other story also. And this is called Henry Box Brown. I seem to remember having heard the name of this before, but I can't remember the story. So Christopher Brown, no relation, I assume, just purely coincidental.
I have a strong stance on women beating and fair treatment of people, regardless of race and or gender. But the Henry Box Brown story was actually in the New York Times a while back. A customer at the restaurant that I work at came in and said, "Here, I have this article for you." And there on the cover was a man depicted in the picture with an afro, other white gentlemen standing around him looking shocked, and said his special delivery was his delivery to freedom. And I thought that was just lovely.
So actually, why don't we let some of the kids, this is the 9 to 12 year old class. Why don't you like to sort of tell the brief version of the story? Yes, ma'am, what's your name?
I'm Nadine.
Nadine?
Yep. Well, in the beginning of the story, it's his mother and his family talking about how slavery bounds them and how they'd love to be free. And then Henry is sold away from his mother, and his sisters are all sold away. And Henry is very sad because he's all alone, he's working. He wants to be free, and he meets a woman named Nancy. And eventually, they get married, jump the broom, which is all slaves were allowed to be married. And they have children, and then both owners promise not to sell them because they have different owners. And one of the owners breaks his promise and sells Nancy, and wants Henry to pay $50, which he obviously doesn't have, to buy her and to make it so she's not sold. Nancy eventually does get sold away because the owner's mean and cruel and Henry can't pay $50. And so she leaves and Henry is devastated. He's trying to think of all of the ways he can to get them back, and he thinks of many ways of getting free, and finally the idea comes of him when he's holding a crate. He'd ship himself somewhere. So he puts himself in a box, has his friends close it up and address it to Philadelphia, and he takes 27 hours trip in a box being turned upside down on his side. And eventually he's in Philadelphia, and since it's a free state, he says he came out of the box a free man.
And the happy end of the story. And presumably hooks up with his wife. No? Or we don't know, or is that the...
He has to change his name because in 1850 there was the Fugitive Slave Bill that was passed, and although he was free, but if they caught him again and they were like, "Oh, you're a slave," they would return him to his old master. So he had to change his name, go to England, but he helped the world learn by using or speaking about slavery across the world.
Is this a true story?
Yes, sir, it is.
It is. And we have a song from this one.
Yes, sir. One of the producing a happy moment. When all is lost for Henry, he seems to have found a beacon of hope in the form of Nancy. And the gossipers around the town are excited.
Okay. These are students from the Soul Miners Children's Theater Company for the presentation of Henry Box Brown, which will be performed next month at the Baha'i Center on Green Street in Urbana.
What about that sweet Henry? 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 He got a girl on his mind,
and his
true love he did find.
Have mercy.
They want a matrimonial state, and foolishness will be their fate.
Short and sweet. A little bit of sort of hip-hop rap influence sounds like in that song.
Yeah, I have a feeling that the company who originally wrote these plays had some African-American influence?
They did.
You have a feeling, yeah, think so.
No, they did. They had a man named Eric Dozier, who I his name is on the credits, but I know him from seeing him in other things, and he does a lot of I don't know what the right word for it is. Anyway, what is the right word for the kind of music I want? Gospel. That's it.
Gospel.
Yeah, a lot of gospel stuff. Really, really good. I've seen the stuff he did. I think what's really interesting about that song is that it sounds like they're really happy, but they end up by saying it's foolish. Foolishness will be their fate. Because them getting married at that time was pretty likely to end in disaster, you know? And it was an interesting thing for the kids here to learn that that's what slavery was like, among other things, is that you weren't even free to get married because you didn't own your own body.
Yeah. And, or even your own right to love somebody else,
right,
if you wanted, or at least not make that official in any sort of
right.
legal way. Now we have something from The Ugly Duckling, right? And we have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 students from that production. Is this the whole group, by the way, or are there more kids? This is the group that'll
this
be performing
everybody.
That. Okay. So what's the song we're going to hear from this show?
It's the very first song of the show. And it is in a classroom. Like I said, it's sort of a story within a story. So it's in the classroom, and all the children are having their first experience coming to school and being together. And they're all very nervous and wondering, like, what if people don't like me? What if I don't get along with everybody? What if I'm not popular? So it's kind of in those anxieties that children have about, you know, being all together at school or being all together in a new crowd. So...
Okay.
Yeah.
Students from the Soul Miners Children's Theater Company on Live and Local.
What if I don't belong here?
What if I don't get on here?
What if I don't make friends here?
What if we don't fit in here?
Everybody's taller than me.
Where do I fit?
Where do I sit?
Where do I belong?
Where do I go?
Who do you know?
What if I don't belong?
What if no one?
Nice job, kids. All of you, thank you very much for coming on the show. And I hope that we can help get people to go out and hear your show, see your show. It's the Soul Miners Children's Theater Company presenting two stories of unity and justice on February 12th, 13th, 19th, and 20th with a production of The Ugly Duckling presented by the 5 to 8-year-old class and Katie Baldwin, their director. That show is going to start at 2 o'clock each of those days. And then Henry Box Brown, presented by the 9 to 12-year-old class, directed by Christopher Brown. And those shows will each start at 6 o'clock. And a small admission charge for each of those. If you're 2 and under, it won't cost you anything to get in. And the venue is the Baha'i Center in Urbana. It's at 807 East Green Street, which you'll find east of Vine Street, corner of Green and Lynn. You can get tickets at the door, or if you like, you can reserve them ahead by emailing soul.miners@yahoo.com. That's soul.miners@yahoo.com, or you can leave a message at 217-337-1808. And thanks to Mr. Brown, Ms. Baldwin, and Ms. Katz for joining us on the show today, and best of luck with your production.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Our program today on FM 90.9 is made possible with support from The Great Impasta, a family-owned restaurant serving foods from northern Italy for more than 25 years. The Grand Impasta, Lincoln Square in downtown Urbana. More information is available at 359-7377. Coming up, folk singer Deborah Katz. Not Deborah Katz, you're Helen Katz. Deborah Cowan on Live and Local here on FM 90.9.
Cold winter is come with its cold, chilling breath, and the verdure's all dropped from the trees. All nature seems touched by the finger of death, and the streams are beginning to freeze. When the hills and the dales are all covered with white, and flora attends us no more, when you are enjoying a good fireside, will you grumble to think on the poor? When the north wind's ascending and chilling the ground, and the sportsmen again shooting go, and the happy young lads o'er the rivers can slide, and the icicles hang at your door, when our lips and our fingers are trembling with cold, and the rivers are froze on the shore, when the bright twinkling stars they proclaim the cold night, it's the time to remember the poor. When the poor harmless hare is tracked to the woods with his footsteps indented in snow, and the robin redbreast he approaches your cot, and in danger the traveler goes. When your minds are annoyed by the wide swelling flood, and the bridges are useful no more, when your bowl warms with something reviving, will you grumble to think on the poor? Soon a day it will come when our Savior will see all nations shall join in one voice. All the world shall unite to salute the sweet morn.
A song called The Snow is on the Ground, a traditional one. From the singing of Jeff Warner is credited here by Deborah Cowan, who did the singing on this recording, which is her latest, called Fond Desire Farewell. And it's a production with a fellow who goes by the name of DM, or Dave Maddox, involved with various groups that you may well have heard of. But in this case, first collaboration, she says, with a full band behind her of various sizes. And Deborah Cowan is my guest on this portion of the show. And she's here for a couple reasons. Well, they're both related. One is that coming up in a few weeks on Valentine's Day, February the 14th, she's going to be giving a rather intimate concert here at WYLL AM-FM-TV at Illinois Public Media in our building. She's going to be kind of featured in that show as a midnight special special. Midnight Special is a show that we air on our companion station, AM 580, on Saturday afternoons. And Rich Warren is the host. He lives here in our community. And he and Deborah will be live with us. And he's going to be doing a little bit of a Midnight Special this Saturday to help raise money for WYLL and also promote the concert and give folks a chance to come see her for free if you're among the first pledgers. In any event, all of that long-windedness is to say thank you, Deborah, Karen, Cowan, very much for joining us on the show.
Oh, you're very welcome. It's good to be here.
And you reminded me that you have a connection to WYLL specifically that actually made this whole thing come about. Why don't you tell us about that?
Well, your director of created content is Jay Pierce, and Jay and I went to high school together in the North Shore of Chicago in the early 70s. And we were both on the stage crew at Neutra West High School. So, and the cool thing was that Jay was the only one that had a driving license. So because he was the only one that had a driver's license and all the rest of us were still waiting for that fateful day when we could get ours, Jay was the one who drove us all around. And we would pile, there would be tons of kids piled into his car because when we'd be working late on the stage crew, Jay would just say, "Oh, I'll take y'all home." So he always made the rounds. But that's one of the things I remember about Jay was that he had the driving license and was the taxi driver.
And what kind of guy was he back then? Just for our give us some dirt, dig up some dirt on Jay here.
Well, I remember he had a job at McDonald's, but he's funny. Very funny. One of those times when he was driving us around, and I'm sure the statute of limitations is up now, but we were driving on a two-lane road, and it was late at night, and all of a sudden, Jay goes into the left-hand side of the road, and we said, "Jay, what are you doing?" And he says, "I'm practicing driving in England." And then he got back on the right side of the road. But he would say things like that all the time. He was very, I remember him as being very, very funny. But the other thing I also remember about Jay is that he was always a very, very nice guy and a very considerate person. And after we've been reconnected, I'm just saying, wow, you know, I don't think he's changed.
So
we all change, but.
And had he been aware of your career as a singer?
I don't know. I really don't know. It was, we exchanged emails back and forth, and I remembered that Rich, who I've known now for about 8 or 9 years, and I used to listen to the Midnight Special when I was in high school. So that's, you know, I've known about the Midnight Special for forever.
And that was even pre-Rich Warren.
I remember that Rich lived in Champaign-Urbana, and I got in touch with Rich, and I said, "Guess who I went to high school with?" And I said, "I bet you know Jay Pierce." "Oh, my gosh, you know Jay Pierce." So, you know, the small world stories, although sometimes I wonder if it's really that small in folk music and what we do.
Well, and so this event came about, and we're very glad you're going to be doing it. The CD that I played the song from and that we're going to do a few others from during the show here, is your latest of how many? I didn't go back and count.
Well, since my solo career, I've released 3 CDs, and that's been within the last 13 years. But I've also got credits on other recordings that are out of print from various ensembles and groups that I've been in over the years. So there's a number of them. There's a number of them. But the ones that are still in print are 3, and people can find them on my website at deborahcowan.com.
And that's spelled DebraCowan,
yes.
Since both of those could be spelled different ways. And in the publicity material that came with this CD, I made the comment already that it's your first solo album with a full band.
Right.
What made that decision?
Well, I had... somebody asked me, said, how did you get Dave Maddox to produce your CD? How did you get him, on board? And as you mentioned, Dave is still a drummer, but he was formerly with Fairport Convention, which is where many people know of his work. But Dave now lives in the Boston area. He moved to Boston from England in 1999 or 2000. And I was aware he was in the area, and I didn't know him at all except, you know, his work. And I just called him. Out of the blue, I just called him and said, would you be interested? And he said, let's have a chat. And we did, and it grew from there. So it was Dave, as the producer, was the one who hired the musicians and helped me choose the material. I chose the material, but he had veto power. So there were a number of songs that didn't make the cut. And so we chose the songs. He chose the musicians. He wrote up the arrangements. All of those arrangements are his. And when I say a full band, I mean that we had musicians on each cut from start to finish. We had a basic foundation of guitar, bass, and drums.
More than just you singing either solo unaccompanied or with your own guitar.
Right. On my other records, for instance, my Dad's Dinner Pail and other songs from the Helen Hartness Flanders Collection, that was done with mostly just guitar or unaccompanied, and occasionally we brought in one or two instruments. And the Long Gray Line was the same way. Very sparse arrangements, maybe one or two songs where we'd have two or three extra instruments. But on Fond as Our Farewell, we have that foundation of bass, drums, and guitar. And then we brought in a wonderful fiddle player, Joyce Anderson, and some other musicians to fill out the sound on some of the other songs.
Well, let's have another example from the CD, and maybe by way of introduction to it, you can comment a bit on the dedication for this particular CD. It came out of a tragedy in your life, in your family's life.
Right. My brother, Michael Strassman, passed away very suddenly in July of 2007. And his death was the result of a crystal meth overdose. He had been spiraling downward for a number of years before he died, and his death occurred as we were working on the recording. So as we were working on these songs and doing our pre-production and working up the arrangements, and I was at this point, I was getting to know the songs intimately. They were becoming internalized within me. And when I start internalizing a song, I start analyzing it, and I start really thinking about the person who's telling the story and what they might be thinking, getting into their heads, so to speak. And I kept thinking, wow, this whole theme of transformation through devastation is so prevalent in each song. And it just seemed like with every year up until Michael's death, he was just transforming. And he just had so many things happening through his life that were just so negative. And he was also, the other thing about Michael was he and I had this really special bond through music. When he used to steal my records, my LPs, mostly my Fairport Convention and my Steel Ice Band and Jethro Tull CD records. And he got to know that music quite well. So when I told him I was working with Dave Maddox, he was very excited because he was familiar with his work. But unfortunately, he didn't live to see the project. So I decided to dedicate the CD to my brother.
And the song Wall of Stone by Chris Moore. What in particular about this song brought it
well,
to mind?
Well, Michael was a rock climber, and he did a lot of his climbing in the eastern Sierra Nevada of California, and is responsible for a number of first ascents and putting up original routes in many areas of the western United States and in some parts of the world as well. So Wall of Stone, literally, is something that Michael did for the last 30 years, was scaling up these walls of stone. But the other bit of the song, it's a bit of a supernatural song, and Michael had this affinity for the supernatural. He was always interested in ghosts and always interested in paranormal stuff. So the two just seemed to go together, and I thought that would be a great song to illustrate Michael's life. I did a video tribute to him with a bunch of his photographs to Wall of Stone. It's on YouTube. So.
And you can find that, I'm sure, through your website as well, DeborahCowan.com. Deborah Cowan's my guest on Live and Local. She's going to be doing a special event, a special edition of the Midnight Special with host Rich Warren for WYLL-TV on February the 14th. And Rich will be doing a fundraising show on the Midnight Special on our companion station, AM 580, this Saturday from 2 to 4. And you'll have an opportunity both to raise funds for WYLL and also to win some tickets to see that concert on the 14th. Here's Deborah Cowan singing Chris Moore's Wall of Stone from her CD called Fond Desire Farewell on Live and Local.
Past the fences and over the hilltop, up near the trickling stream, there's an old stone wall where I walked as a child. I returned to that place last night, I returned to that place in a dream. There I spied a black crow flying, sleek were the lines of his wing. As he passed overhead, dark and evil surely spread. Here's where the living meet the dead, I swear he said. Here's where the living meet the dead. Memories, memories fill my soul as I stand among these pines all alone. A thousand bygone yesterdays sing an eerie song as I walk along this old wall of stone. As I walk along this old wall of stone.
Deborah Cowan singing Wall of Stone by Chris Moore from her CD Fond Desire Farewell. Came out, what, 2 years ago?
Yeah, it was released in April of 2009.
And she's my guest on Live and Local. You can hear her on the 14th of February right here at WYNL-TV in Campbell Hall. You have a comment that shows up in your publicity material and on your website that says, you know, you've been asked occasionally, what kind of songs do you write? And you say really bad ones, and which is why you don't write songs and always sing the songs of others. And you also commented just a bit ago in our conversation that Dave Maddox sort of had veto power while helping you choose songs for this album. What makes you decide to pick a song that, what makes you decide a song is going to fit for you?
Well, a lot of it, it's really good that you use that word fit, because I use this analogy of like trying on clothes. You know, you see the shirt or the dress or whatever on the hanger, and you go and try it on, and sometimes you just go, whoa, that's not going to work at all. And that happens with songs. That's happened to me with a number of songs that I heard, I liked. I liked the lyrics. I liked the tune. And I worked up the song, and I couldn't get it internalized. I couldn't get past something in the song. But I do, I always hear music first. I always hear the tune first. And then the lyrics kind of follow along. But I look for lyrics that are very rich in imagery and tell a compelling story. And tunes, I love early music and some of the different melodies that have come out of medieval music and some of those things strike me. And a lot of that is used in folk music, a lot of that, those kinds of chord structures and melodies. So that's what I look for.
This particular CD struck me as I listened through it as having a real Celtic sound to it.
Hmm.
Did you have that in mind at all? I mean, were you aware of that?
Not really. I love traditional folk music and traditional songs, but I also like a lot of contemporary songs, and I think I'm not quite sure where the Celtic would come in.
It was just a feel as I got, and maybe as I listened, and there were probably some songs more than others that struck me that way.
Yeah, it could be some of the melody lines that we use, like the intro to Yon Green Valley has got, especially with Joyce's fiddle right up there in front, has got that kind of Celtic sensibility to it. And I think that's the melody line that Dave wrote for that intro. He might have pulled something out of his bag of tricks to give it that feel. But, you know, we've also got a nod to the blues on there with Richard Thompson's Jealous Words. And then, of course, bluegrass with Wall of Stone that you just played.
Yeah.
So we've got a little bit of everything, I think, for something for everybody.
Well, here's one that really struck me. I mean, among a disc that has many powerful songs, this one certainly among those, Lily Marlene Walks Away, a song of Bill Craddock.
Bill Craddock, yes.
Craddock, sorry.
Bill is an English songwriter who's been on the English folk scene for almost 40 years. And his big song that many people might know of is called John O' Dreams. And a lot of his work has been performed by singer June Tabor. Bill has this tendency to, his lyrics are incredible. And I think Lily Marlene Walks Away really demonstrates the kind of imagery and the kind of juxtapositions of just really dark images with music that doesn't quite fit. But Bill is an exceptional songwriter.
And an exceptional singer with us here on Live and Local, Deborah Cowan, from her CD, Fond Desire, Farewell. Lily Marlene Walks Away of Bill Craddock here on Live and Local.
Joseph is the legless soldier selling souvenirs of the war. Outside a bombed-out church where no one wants to worship anymore. Beneath the houses and the ruined flats, women and children crouch like cellar rats. Give us our daily bread, they pray. Lily paints her nails, puts on her nylons, and prepares to walk away. Lily Marlena walks away. Jesus is the old woman begging on the corner of the street, where little children sell themselves to anyone for a bite to eat.
Selena walks away. Maria is the virgin on the mattress in a back room up the stairs. Disciples come in queues at night to kneel between her legs and offer prayers. A pack of cigarettes buys innocence. A jar of coffee for the sacraments. Forgive our trespasses, they pray. Lily checks her lipstick, gives her bride a smile, and quickly walks away. Lily Marlena walks away.
A song called Lily Marlene Walks Away, a song by Bill Caddick, sung by Deborah Cowan from her CD Fond Desire Farewell, came out a couple of years ago. It's her most recent. Produced by Dave Maddox with various instrumentalists involved. We won't give their names, but you can certainly check out the CD and lots about Deborah Cowan on her website, deborahcowan.com. Better yet, you could go see and hear her live right here in our studios on February the 14th, the Valentine's Day special edition of Rich Warren's show, The Midnight Special, which airs on WYL AM 580 every Saturday from 2 to 4, and it'll be a special event that day. Rich is going to be helping us raise money here at the radio station on this Saturday's show. And if you do listen Saturday from 2 to 4, you'll have several opportunities to hear a little bit more about the event and perhaps win some tickets to hear her perform. So it's been a pleasure to have you on the show here. Talk a little bit about your relationship with Rich Warren. He has gone on record as being, as considering you among his own favorite singers, and even named this CD his CD of the week at some point after it came out.
I had met Rich at Folk Alliance, at the Folk Alliance conferences, and in 2002, I was fortunate to be awarded a formal juried showcase at the Northeast Regional Folk Alliance Conference that took place in New York. And after I had done the showcase, Rich came up to me and said, I would love to have you on Folk Stage, which is a live concert series that he does at WFMT for supporters of the Midnight Special. So in 2003, I did Folk Stage and had a great time. And I always run into Rich whenever I'm at conferences or Folk Alliance, and we become friends. So, and I will do anything for the Midnight Special.
Well, we're glad you're going to do that event for the Midnight Special, and also for WILL TV. You already mentioned your relationship with one of our managers here, our director of created content, as he's called, Jay Pierce. And Rich actually comments regarding your concert on the 14th here that I'm quoting, "We thought this would be a great gift for people who pledge. It's not a cup holder or a bumper sticker, something fun and not available anywhere else." I'm sure you're glad to know that Rich doesn't consider you a cup holder or a bumper sticker.
I certainly hope not.
And you can tune into the Midnight Special this Saturday, the 22nd, on our companion station AM 580 from 2 to 4 p.m., and you will hear lots of details as Rich breaks in now and then to help raise money for the show, for the station, and to promote that concert by Deborah Cowan on the 14th of February here at WIL.
I might also add that there are CDs for pledges, and I don't have the limits or the numbers, but for certain pledge amounts, you can get a copy of Fond Desire Farewell.
And for a certain number of first 25 or 30 fans who pledge on Saturday, you can get free tickets to hear the concert on the 14th. So lots of incentives, and many of them involve Deborah Cowan. And we really appreciate your joining us on the show.
Oh, well, it's a pleasure. It's a pleasure to be here, and I look forward to seeing everybody on Valentine's Day. And thank you very much for supporting WILL, Illinois Public Media. Very important stuff.
And it's Deborah Cowan going out on a Ray Davies song called Alcohol. here on Live and Local, again from her disc called Fond Desire, Farewell on FM 90.9.
He used to be a winner, enjoying a life of prominence and position. But the pressures at the office, his socialite engagements, his selfish wife's fanatical ambition, it turned into the booze and he got mixed up with a floozy. She led him to a life of indecision. The floozy made him spend his dough. She left him lying on Skid Row, a drunken lag in some Salvation Army mission. It's such a shame. Troubles disappear. But he messed up his life when he beat up his wife. Now the floozy's gone and found another sucker. She's gonna turn him on to drink. She's gonna lead him to the brink. And when his money's gone, she'll leave him in the gutter. It's such a shame.
Song by Ray Davies called Alcohol, sung by Deborah Cowan here on Live and Local on FM 90.9. Our show is made possible by the Prairie Ensemble, presenting their second annual club concert at the Canopy Club in Urbana on Sunday, January 30th at 6:30 p.m. The eclectic all-chamber program ranges from Irving Fine's 1-2 Buckle My Shoe to Scott Joplin's Sunflower Slow Drag to Michael Dougherty's Dead Elvis. Details can be found at prairieensemble.org. And we have support from the Corkscrews Bouvon Wine Bar, 203 North Vine, Urbana, with a full list of wines from around the world by the glass and by the bottle. Wine tastings are held every Saturday from noon to 4. Information is at 217-337-7704 or on Facebook at Bouvon Wine Bar. And a quick look at some events in our area tonight. Anyway, the Russian National Ballet presents Romeo and Juliet at the Krannert Center in Urbana. That's tonight at 7. They'll do Cinderella tomorrow night at 7. Outside the Box is at Parkland College Theater tonight, tomorrow, 7:30 and through the weekend. The Woody Woodward Organ Trio is at the Iron Post in Urbana tonight at 5. The UI Jazz faculty perform at the Iron Post tonight at 8 o'clock. And this is Illinois Public Media, WYNL FM and HD1 and HD2 Urbana, with translators W266 AF Urbana and W293 AF Danville. We're a member-supported service of the College of Media at Illinois.